One of the great struggles from the time of the early apostles and disciples, and the question that has plagued theologians down through the centuries, has come down to the question of how Jesus can be fully human and yet fully God at the same time. There are things in the scriptures that make him look very human, like today's gospel at the beginning with so much emotion and Jesus weeping. And then there are things that clearly show that he is God, like raising Lazarus from the dead. Jesus has two natures. He is fully human and fully God. And to keep these two in balance is the great challenge of theologians throughout history. Because at various times there has been a tendency to minimize one, to minimize Jesus' humanity, to gloss over passages like today and just focus on miracles and power. Or there have been other people that try to emphasize his humanity so much that we would almost forget that he is also the God of the universe. Today's gospel is probably the most famous, most powerful miracle that Jesus works. It is the end of a trilogy of readings that we've had over these last 3 weeks from John's gospel. The beautiful stories of the woman at the well, the healing of the man born blind last week, and the raising of Lazarus this week. Some of the most powerful, passionate stories in all of Scripture. And today is no exception. In fact, it's one of the truly great ones. And I love the emphasis through most of this story on humanity, on emotion, on the emotion of the people, on the emotion of Jesus, on love and connectedness and friendship. It is something very much that we can relate to. John tells us right at the beginning that a man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany. But very quickly we find that this is not just any man. This is Lazarus, the best friend of Jesus, perhaps. And it's very clear that when they send for him, they say, "Master, the one you love is ill." So it's not just anybody. The one you love is ill. And it's very clear that John tells us, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister, and Lazarus. In fact, we know from John's gospel that Bethany, their home, was a place where he would love to go on his time off, to get away, to relax and recover. It was a beautiful relationship that he had with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. So when Lazarus becomes ill, we can imagine that Jesus would have very much wanted to heal him, to maybe perform one of those miracles that we've seen him perform so many other times. So John tells us plainly that when he heard that he was ill, he remained for 2 days in the place where he was. Now that is just bewildering. Why would he do that? Jesus knows that he's ill, and he knows that this illness is serious. Jesus has cured all kinds of people. Why not his best friend? Why not go to Mary and Martha, the people he loves more than anybody? Why not a miracle here? In fact, Jesus, we know nothing happens without his approval, without his knowing it. In the Gospel of John, everything is arranged precisely, and Jesus knows everything that will happen. So he tells them plainly, Lazarus is asleep. And they think he's just sleeping normal sleep. And he's like, no. Lazarus has died. Jesus deliberately stayed away so that Lazarus would die. Why? And then he says the most peculiar thing. He says, Lazarus has died, and I'm glad for you that I was not there. Very hard to accept something like that. In fact, we know that as soon as Jesus does decide to go, Martha, this great woman of action that we remember from previous, she runs out to meet him. She doesn't even let him get to the town. She's so upset. She runs up to Jesus, and the first words out of her mouth are, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. What are you doing? We sent for you. You could have come, and you didn't. And now he's been dead for 4 days. What were you thinking, Lord? We can hear Martha say, Lord, if you had been here, if only you had been. been here. I think it's good for us to see that kind of emotion, because all of us, I think, in our life can relate to this kind of feeling, especially for those of us that are close to God. This hurt especially for Martha, because she was close to Jesus. This was her friend as much as her Savior. We too have these kind of emotions where we feel like, Lord, why couldn't you answer that prayer? I prayed so hard for this person who was sick, or for this situation, or for this relationship, or my marriage. I prayed, Lord, I prayed really, really hard. Why does it seem that you stayed away for 2 days and allowed this terrible thing to happen? Why not answer my prayer if I'm your friend? We can't gloss over that too quickly. To stay in the humanity of that kind of emotion, Martha shows us that it's okay to have this kind of question in our heart. But Jesus, of course, knows what he's doing, so he immediately begins to try to draw Martha a little bit deeper into her faith. He tells her, your brother will rise. And Martha, she's got faith, so she says, I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day. So Martha believes in the resurrection, but in her mind, it's this distant event. It'll happen later, but what good does it do me now? My brother is dead. I think this too is important for us, because a lot of us in the Christian life will sometimes look at all the difficulty and struggle in life and say that, well, this life is meant to be just a drudgery and misery, but then someday in the future, on the last day, then it gets good. Then we go to heaven and then all is good. Jesus says, no, not some resurrection on the last day. Like, I'm here. I'm right here, and I am the resurrection and the life. If you have me, you don't go through this life in a drudgery waiting for it to get good one day. If you have Jesus, you've got the power right there. And even though Lazarus is dead, even though Jesus says, everyone who lives and believes in me will never die, and Martha knows that Lazarus is dead, Jesus asks, do you believe this? And to her credit, Martha says, yes, Lord. I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God. Martha believes in the divinity of Jesus. She just doesn't quite see what he will be able to do about this situation. Because it's true that Jesus had raised two other people from the dead. There was the daughter of Jairus, but she had just died. She died, and Jesus walks into the room and raises her up. And there's the son of the widow of Nain. But he too had just died. They're just carrying him out of the house. It's very different with Lazarus. Notice two times they're very clear to point out that Lazarus is dead for 4 days. 3 days was what it took to officially say this person is definitely dead. It's the fourth day. It means that it is beyond hope. Even though Martha knows that Jesus had raised two other people from the dead, that was different. Now it's been 4 days. Now God can't do anything, is essentially what Martha is thinking. Then we have Mary. She gets word that Jesus is there, and finally she too gets up and goes out. The first words out of Mary's mouth when she meets Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Both of them thinking exactly the same thing. The Gospel of John hammering it home. It's okay to feel that way, to be perplexed. And this time, with everyone gathered now, everyone is weeping. Everyone is sad. Mary is sad. Martha is sad. Everybody is sad. And then, this beautiful revelation of the humanity of Jesus. Jesus, too, is sad. It says that he becomes perturbed in spirit, deeply troubled. This is God. He knows everything that's going to happen. And yet it says, when he sees everybody weeping, Jesus wept. Jesus wept for love of his friend Lazarus, who had died. Death is not supposed to be a part of Jesus' creation. Death came through sin. Jesus is angry and perturbed about sin, yes, and he's even sad that his friend Lazarus has died. Here we see the full humanity of Jesus on display. And once again, I think it is encouragement for us who experience death, who experience the loss of a loved one, who over and over have to say goodbye to people that we loved in this world. Notice what they see. When they see Jesus weeping, they say, "See how he loved him." I think that gives all of us permission to grieve, to weep, to feel painfully even the sorrow of life and especially death. Sometimes it's hard as a priest because people will have a false notion that if someone dies that, well, you know, if I just had more faith, maybe I wouldn't feel sad that this person died. If I just believed more in the resurrection, shouldn't I be happy? Well, no one believed more in the resurrection than Jesus. He knows everything that's going to happen. And in the wonderment of this gospel, Jesus knows that in just 5 minutes, Lazarus will be alive again. He is going to raise him from the dead, and he knows it. And yet he weeps over this death. So brothers and sisters, we need have no qualms at all about weeping, about showing our emotion when we're sad. Emotion is part of being human. Jesus himself gives us all the permission we need to weep and feel sad, especially with death, but really with anything in life. Don't be afraid to experience our own humanity. But then we get perhaps the most greatest display of Jesus' divinity. Everyone is sure that 4 days is too long. There is nothing that can be done. And yet, Jesus goes to the tomb, a cave with a stone across it. We'll find another such tomb in just a few weeks. And Jesus says, "Take the stone away." And again, Martha, who's already exclaimed her faith, says, "But Lord, he's been dead 4 days. There'll be a stench." She still cannot even fathom what Jesus is about to do. But they trust, so they take the stone away. Jesus offers this beautiful prayer to his Father with that confidence, saying, "Lord, I know you always hear me." What a good prayer for us to remember too when we're praying. "Lord, you always hear me." God always hears our prayers. And then Jesus looks into the darkness of this cave. Emptiness. And into that darkness, in a loud voice, he cries out, "Lazarus, come out." And then, tiny little verse of scripture simply says, "The dead man came out." The dead man came out. Just let that sink in for a second. I think too often we hear that and like, yeah, dead man came out. It's another one of those raising from the dead miracle stories that Jesus does. This was so far beyond the expectation of everyone who had been with Jesus. His disciples, his apostles, Mary and Martha, Lazarus, his best friends. Nobody saw this coming. Nobody thought this was possible. He blew all their expectations away. Divinity fully on display. The same God who said to the darkness at the beginning of the world, "Let there be light," and there was, said to a dead man, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came out. Friends, Jesus wants to be our friend. He wants to have his humanity fully available to us. He became man so that we could know that our emotion, our humanity, our fallenness, our sinfulness, it's all acceptable to God. But he's also our God, that he might blow our expectations away. Precisely when we are praying, "Lord, if you had been here, can't you do something? What about this, Lord? Why not this?" Perhaps we can think of this gospel and remember that God always hears us. He always answers our prayers, but he may answer them in a way that blows our expectations. Because while he is fully human and he will weep with us for the struggles in our life, he is also our God who is fully capable of removing the stone and speaking life into the darkness of death. There's no coincidence that the church gives us this reading as we enter Passion Tide. Because just as they needed to have their expectations blown away by the raising of Lazarus, there's a greater miracle and a greater struggle even yet to come. Because Lazarus, although raised from the dead, will die again. This is not the permanent resurrection that even Martha believed in. There is a greater moment of struggle and testing to come in just next week when we read of the passion of Jesus and his death. And that question again comes, humanity, divinity, the painful suffering of the human Jesus, and yet the belief that he is God. So as we journey these last 2 weeks towards Easter, I pray that we might be open to both of these aspects in Christ and to even see the workings of both in our life, to bring all of our humanity to God, knowing that he hears us, knowing that he weeps with us, but then to trust in the divinity of Jesus, that the same God who created you and me out of nothing is fully capable of taking us in glory to heaven and leading us through this life with great joy. You have your expectations. Mary and Martha had theirs. I pray in these 2 weeks that we might be open to bringing our full humanity to God, that in his divinity then, he might just blow our expectations, that he might answer our prayers in such a way that we too would marvel to think that he spoke to a dead man and the dead man came out. What then might God do for us?